Sairam children, this is your special hour for you on Radio Sai, the children's hour. And you are listening to us live from our studios in Prashanti Nilayam.
Sai Ram children, yes, live it is. Isn't it a wonder of technology, children, that we are sitting in this one small pocket in southern India and talking. And you may be in northern India or even in North America for that matter. Or you could be in South Africa or New South Wales in Australia. But you will be listening to us even as we speak into these microphones in front of us.
Yes, of course. But children, I really wonder if you all realize what a great thing this really is. Because most of you are born in this age of mobile phones. You can just pick up a phone and call someone right across the globe and have a conversation. But do you know how difficult it was when we were children?
Yes. I remember there was something called a trunk call. And mind you, that was only within the country, if I'm not wrong. So say I'm in Bangalore and I wish to speak to someone in Delhi. I would have to first call an operator and request for a call to be placed to that particular number in Delhi.
Then we would wait for anything between half an hour to 1 hour, after which the operator will call back and say, Your call has gone through, and the person is waiting on the line.
And then we would pick up the call and speak so loudly, children, that the whole building will know that you are on a trunk call.
Isn't that fascinating, children? If this is so, imagine the times before telephones. It used to be only letters, which means there can be no conversation. You have to write a few pages. The letter will take a few weeks to reach. After that, the reply will be posted by the other person, and that would reach you after a few weeks.
Can you imagine that? And nowadays, we can just send an email which would instantly go to that person's inbox, whichever part of the world he is in. Do you now appreciate how easy communication is, children? Things have become so advanced that we can complete most of the tasks at least 90% faster than your grandparents would have taken when they were your age. But now, the question is, how do we utilize the time we have managed to save?
Good point, Prem. That is very important. So now, we have more time at our disposal, and we should be careful how we utilize it.
But children, we spoke about telephones, letters, and how you are listening to us live. Do you know what is the basis of all such forms of communications? Do you know, Ganesh?
Language, of course. You need a language to speak in or write in. Is it right?
Right. And do you all know how many languages are there in the world today? Take a guess. Let's see. I can hear someone say 1,000. Oh, somebody there is saying 2,500. Not bad. But you all are way off the real number, children. Hold your breath. There are approximately 6,500 languages in the world.
6,500? Wow, that's amazing. But do you know how many languages are there in India alone?
In India alone? I think when I was at school, I remember reading it was somewhere around 122.
Exactly, you're right, Prem. And that was when you were at school.
What do you mean, Ganesh? You mean more languages have sprung up after that?
No, Prem. No new languages. But they have found that there are far more than the 122 languages, which was the official figure.
Oh, really? So what is the number now?
Sometime last year, a survey was done in which they found there are about 780 languages just in India.
780? Wow, that's huge for one country.
And the people who did the survey believe that there could be more hundred. But that's not the saddest thing. What the survey also found was 220 languages were lost just in the past 50 years.
220 languages were lost just in the past 50 years. That is very, very sad. And do you know why that has happened, children? It is because many people are slowly giving up their native tongue or what you call your mother tongue or native language.
And at a young age, when you have good memory, is the best time to learn anything. So, you all must make it a point to learn your own language along with global languages like English. Never lose touch with your native language.
Isn't it fascinating, Ganesh? There are 6,500 languages. Some of the languages are so different that when spoken, we just cannot make out anything. But all languages have one thing in common.
All languages have one thing in common. Really? What is that? Is it any alphabet or word which is in every one of the 6,500 languages?
No. It is not a word, nor an alphabet. I am talking of that which we can with which we can speak the different languages. Do you know, children, what it is? It is the human tongue.
Oh, yes. Imagining all of us have a similar tongue, but we can produce from it few thousands of languages. What a great instrument the tongue is.
Very true. It is one more of God's grand wonders, children. So isn't it important that we know more about this brilliant tool that can produce so many varieties of sounds and speak so many different languages?
And it can not only help us speak, it also helps us taste. Without the tongue, we cannot enjoy any food item, sweet, sour, or spicy. So children, let us then learn more about this tongue, and more importantly, how not to misuse the tongue. It's a precious tool, so we must learn how to make best use of it. So let's listen to Dr. Lata Shri, who is going to talk to us about the human tongue.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram, children, last week I was telling you that our food habits are mainly formed by the taste that the tongue perceives. See, children, as I already told you, there are so many food items which are rich in minerals and vitamins, very essential for the human body. Just because they don't taste good and the tongue rejects them, if we avoid eating all these good foods, then what happens is the resistance power in the body, which is called immunity, will go down. And when immunity decreases, we keep falling sick often. The body starts giving us endless troubles, and ultimately it breaks down one day when we can least afford it. As young children, if you fall sick, you will be deprived of even small day-to-day pleasures of life like jumping around, running about, playing, attending your classes, so your studies also could suffer when you fall sick. That is why, children, irrespective of the taste, you must make it a point to have wholesome, nutritious, good diet every day, which includes lots of fruits and vegetables. You should also avoid eating junk foods like burgers, pizzas, and fried items like samosas, pakodas, which are not at all good for health. One of the important factors that produces tongue cancer is tobacco chewing and smoking. That is why, children, you should never get into the habit of eating pan parag, pan masala, and never ever smoking. You should not be in the company of people who indulge in all these bad habits. Swami has often told us, remember this, children, A, B, C is avoid bad company and also always be careful. Children, now we come to the next important function of the tongue, that is speech. After all, what do we mean by speech? In a simple way, we can say speech is an outward, verbal means through words, verbal expression of how we feel inside and what we think in our minds. So by the way we speak and what we speak, people can make out what kind of persons we are. If someone speaks sweetly, softly, without injuring the feelings of other people, then we say this person is a very sattvic person, very peaceful, very calm, always connected to God. Isn't it, children? Lord Krishna in the Gita says, Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitanchayet. This is how we have to speak. Anudvega karam vakyam means the words that we use should not produce any anxiety, grief, anger in the listener. And also it should always contain truth. It should be pleasant and hitam, which means it should be beneficial to the listener. That is why Swami tells us before we speak, we must apply this triple filter, which means we have to ask ourselves three questions before we open our mouth to speak. The first question is it necessary? What I am going to speak, is it needed at all? Can I improve upon silence by speaking? This is what is meant by the first question. Then the second question is, the words that we are going to speak, do they contain any truth or they are full of lies? This is the second question. Then the third question is it beneficial to me and is it beneficial to the listener? So these are the three questions that we have to answer ourselves before we make an attempt to speak to people. Swami has also told us, you may not always oblige, but always speak obligingly. What do we mean by this statement? See, so many people come to us for all sorts of helps and favors with so many requests, but we may not be in a position to help them always because of so many reasons, our own limitations, our own constraints. But Swami says we should not be rude to them. We should not be harsh with them. We must not get angry with them. In a polite way, in a humble way, we can say no to them and we can explain to them our predicament. This is what is meant by always speak obligingly. See, children, you must understand that just as we do seva through our deeds, when we pray for someone, when we send loving thoughts to someone, it is a kind of seva through thoughts. The same way, even through our words, we can do seva. It is said, paropakarartham idam shariram. This body is meant for the very purpose of helping and serving others. And even through words, we can serve people. When we see someone down, depressed, sad, if we encourage them, motivate them and speak kind and consoling words to them, it is a kind of very good seva to people. And same way, when we see someone doing very good, if we appreciate them wholeheartedly, this is also a kind of seva. And you would have noticed, children, when we get angry, the first weapon that springs into action is the tongue. Even before we bat our eyelids, even before we think or discriminate, the tongue comes into action. We start screaming at them, we start using bad words, abrasive language, abusive language, which can easily hurt the feelings of the other person. See, once these words are spoken, they cannot be taken back. That is why it is said, tongue can make or break a person. The tongue can make or break a relationship. So when we are in an angry mood, it is best that we keep quiet, pray to Swami internally, keep chanting Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram till we cool down, and then we can explain what we feel to the other person and not when we are in angry mood. This is very important because Swami says, when we slip and fall, the injury that is produced will heal in due course of time. It can be easily treated. It can be cured. Whereas when the tongue slips and falls, the damage that is produced cannot be repaired. It cannot be reversed. That is why we have to be very careful before we speak something. See, children, the healthy relationships that we build with people around largely depends on the conversation we have with them. There are certain tips, and these are in the form of 6 sentences which contain words in the descending order. And these sentences, if they are used frequently in a conversation with people, we can have a very healthy, positive relationship with people, and this also helps us to improve ourselves. The first sentence, which contains 6 words, is, I agree, I committed a mistake. See, when we do something wrong, we must be bold enough, we must be gracious enough to accept that we have committed a mistake, so that we avoid making such mistakes in future, and this is good for our own self-improvement and for our own spiritual sadhana. Then the second sentence in the descending order is, you did a good job. See, children, it is a pure heart, it is a blemishless heart that appreciates the achievement of other people. So we should make it a habit to compliment people when they do something good, and this helps us to get rid of an important inner enemy, that is jealousy. And then the next sentence, which contains 4 words, is, what is your opinion? See, we must always respect others' views and opinions. We must always regard them. And when we derive inputs and feedback from others, we can improve ourselves. The next sentence in the descending order with 3 words is, will you please? See, if we make it a habit to use this sentence often in our conversations, we become humble individuals. It helps us to cultivate humility from a very young age. And then the sentence with 2 words is, thank you. Gratitude is an attitude that should be developed from a very young age. And the last word, or the last sentence with 1 word, is I, and this word should not be used often. This should be used least number of times in a conversation, because I stands for ego. It stands for doership. I did this. I am responsible for this. I am good. I am great. All this has to be avoided in our conversations, because we are all instruments of God, and it is God who works through us, and we cannot claim to take any credit for anything at all. In fact, everything belongs to God and everything is God. Children, there is a lot more to talk about tongue. We can continue the same topic next week also. And for today, please remember, tongue can make or break a person. It is said, Maunena kalaham nasti. When we keep silence, we avoid fights, we avoid arguments. See you next week, children. Jai Saira.
So, children, isn't it important to be careful how we use this little friend called tongue? There are more interesting things that Swami talks about the tongue. And as Dr. Lata Shri said, she will be sharing with us those facts next week.
Do you know one more interesting thing about the tongue and human languages in general, children? Many times, the language we speak, or rather the way we speak, is an indication of our intelligence.
Yes. A normal person will get to know what is in our mind only from the words we speak, isn't it? I remember reading an interesting and very funny quote long back. You know, it says, I better keep my mouth shut and let people wonder if I'm a fool rather than open my mouth and prove it.
I don't think that is true always, Prem. But yes, people often judge our intelligence based on what we speak. Children, if we speak a lot, then the value people give for our words will be less. For instance, if you live in a place where water is available in plenty, the value for that water will be less. But if the same water is less available or scarce, then it becomes precious and we will even be ready to pay for it.
Similarly, if we inculcate this habit of talking less and more importantly, talking to the point, people will give a lot of value to our words.
There is a lot of important lessons today. Think before you speak. Don't speak harsh words and speak when only necessary. Great. But we spoke of how speech is an indication of one's knowledge. But how do we gather knowledge?
That's an interesting and important question. Children, you all must be thinking, what is there in it? We after all go to the school for that very purpose, isn't it? Yes, children, but along with the knowledge that we gather at school, there is one more important knowledge which we all must inculcate. Do you know what it is?
Why tell you what it is when we have a story to explain that? Yes, children, it is story time. And what we are going to listen today is quite important. Shall we then ask Sumana Madam to tell us the story, like she does every week? Come on, let's listen to her.
Sairam children, are you all ready for today's story? But before that, answer this question for me. You all go to school, and some of you must have already decided what you would like to study when you join a university, right? But, children, why do we study at all? Is it merely to pass examinations, get degrees, or claim that I have studied so many subjects? Well, this is all bookish knowledge. Swami says, education must give us practical knowledge or common sense. But what is the difference between practical knowledge and mere bookish knowledge? So that is what we are going to see in today's story. One day, a lady went to a shopping market and bought a few things. One of the items in her shopping list was bathing soap. She bought a pack of three. After shopping and paying the bills, she returned home. Then she started unpacking her shopping bag. That is when she realized that one of the bathing soap wrappers was empty. Oh my God, this is very bad, she thought. How can they cheat customers like this? As I am a responsible citizen, I will take this company to task. The lady was so upset that she decided to go to consumer court. Do you know what a consumer court is, children? Consumer court is a special court where consumers can go with their complaints about any product that they have bought. When you buy any product, like toiletries or food items or electronics, since you are the one who is buying and consuming, you are the consumer. So, if you feel the item you have bought is defective or not as described by the company and you are not getting a response from the company when you complain about it, you can then go to a consumer court. Generally, companies are very careful when it comes to their products because if anyone files a complaint in a consumer court, it becomes a black mark on the company. It's a bad name, isn't it? But this lady was so upset that she decided to go straight to the consumer court. So eventually, the company that produced that bath soap had to spend a lot of money and pay fine and compensation to her. The management of that company decided that something had to be done to sort out this problem and ensure that it does not repeat. So an expert panel was set up. These people would study the whole process of production of the soap and identify where the problem is. Obviously, if empty wrappers are being sent to shops, there must be a problem only in the packaging section of the factory. If the packing section, in the packing section, there was this long assembly line where after the soap is made, a robotic arm places the soap into the wrapper boxes and seals it. It was found that sometimes few boxes pass by without the soap being put in them. And that was what was causing the whole problem. So this expert team reported their findings to the management. Now the management started discussing how to ensure that empty boxes do not pass out of the assembly line. They thought if the workers check the final product, then a lot of time could be wasted and it will affect the production. Then the most educated technical expert spoke up. I think, firstly, we should have an automated system which will check the contents of the boxes without opening the seal. Second, we should have a sort of an alarm system which will be triggered when an empty box is detected. And the third process is that the empty boxes should be automatically taken off the assembly line. So, it should be a three-step process. We can divide this among three technical teams. Each team can come up with a solution regarding their step. This is what he said, and the whole room nodded in appreciation and acceptance. There was a broader smile on the faces of the management now. So that was it. A brilliant plan was drawn, work distributed, and they all were ready to start finding the solution. The boss and the management were very happy with the discussion in the meeting. After all, these were the most well-educated experts with high degrees from reputed universities and institutes, right? 3 weeks later, after a lot of research and experimentation, the experts met again. And this time, it was a superb plan they came up with. After the packing, the boxes would go through an X-ray machine. A computer would check the X-ray images and then it would detect an empty box. A robotic arm would push it out of the conveyor belt. Brilliant! All of them got up and gave a round of applause to themselves. It was then the turn of the finance manager to give his report. He gave a long presentation, after which he said, "So, if we implement this process with all the X-ray scanning devices and computers and all that, our cost of production will go up by almost 50% per soap. So the bathing soap, which is rupees 40, will cost rupees 60. The boss was shocked to hear this. What? 50% higher? That's simply crazy. We just cannot afford that. How can we implement this system if it is going to increase our production cost by so much? The technical head then said, "But sir, this is the best idea we all experts have come up with. There cannot be a more simpler or a cheaper idea than this." As all of them were discussing seriously, an elderly man was standing in the corner and listening to the discussion silently. He was one of the senior-most employees in the company. He was not an engineer or a scientist. He did not even have a degree in management or finance. He was a simple waiter. Yet, he was an experienced and a wise old man. He was serving snacks and tea to those in the room. Finally, he decided to join the discussion after patiently listening to them for over an hour. "Sir, if you don't mind, may I make a suggestion?" he requested the boss. "About what, Kumarji?" asked the boss politely. "I too have an idea, sir, to solve this problem. My solution is much more simple, and it will not cost us more than a few thousand rupees altogether." Everyone in the room was surprised. "How is that possible? Can he give a solution better than all the experts?" But the boss respected the years of service this elderly gentleman had offered to the organization. So he let him speak further. "Sir, there is a much simpler solution to the problem. All that we have to do is place huge fans beside the conveyor belts over which the packaged soaps move. As the packed soaps pass by and come near the fan, the empty boxes will just get blown off." There was pin drop silence in the room after that. The silence in the room spoke volumes of how embarrassed all of them were. In all their complex thinking, the simple solution just didn't occur to any of them. A simple fan was the best solution. Children, this is the difference between common sense and bookish knowledge. Sometimes we try to use all the knowledge we have gathered from our books and miss out the simple solutions before us. That is why Swami always says, we should have practical knowledge. Now, how do we cultivate this practical knowledge? Swami says, the more we try to use what we have learnt for the benefit of the society, the more we can cultivate this practical knowledge. And children, what is the other lesson we have learnt from this story? We should always be humble and not be too proud of our learning. Intelligence and wisdom is not necessarily the property of only the educated. Good ideas can come from anywhere. We must be humble enough to accept it from wherever it comes. There is a saying from the ancient scriptures, true education must confer humility. So children, the more higher you go in studies, more humble you must become. And the knowledge that you gain should be used for the benefit of the society. That attempt itself can make your textbook knowledge into practical knowledge. I hope you all have enjoyed the story, children. Till I meet you with another interesting story, it is Sai Ram from me.
How did you like that story, children? It was quite silly of those so-called experts, wasn't it? So even as we gather general knowledge, we must also cultivate practical knowledge, or more importantly, as Swami would say, common sense.
You know, children, when Swami came to our studio about 12 years back, he taught us this very lesson. Swami said, "You all have knowledge because you have been to school and college. But what is important is that knowledge should now be transferred into skill."
Right. Swami said that this we can do if we endeavor to use this knowledge for the benefit of others. So when you study, instead of thinking how this knowledge will be useful to me, how it will help me earn more and lead a comfortable life, you should also ask, how can I use this knowledge to help others? How will I be able to put this knowledge to use in a manner that it will be of use to people around me?
Swami said, when to transform knowledge to skill, When you transform knowledge to skill, it will lead to balance. So, knowledge to skill, skill to balance. So to start with, think for yourself what knowledge you wish to gather that will help you benefit others.
You know, Ganesh, I told you a quote that most people open their mouths and show us how little they know.
Mm.
But it is completely different when it comes to our children. When
yes.
they start speaking, it only shows us how much they know.
Yes, our children are so intelligent and well-spoken that it is a joy to listening to all of them.
Then what are we waiting for? Let us listen to a child this week too.
Mm.
So children, this week I am going to play for you a conversation I had with a student from Swami's Ishwarama school. Shall we listen to that conversation?
Sairam listeners, and we're so happy to have with us one more little bright child here, and his name is Chaitanya. Sairam Chaitanya.
Sairam.
What's your full name?
Sai Chaitanya.
Sai Chaitanya. In your school, all are Sai something. Hmm? Are there any other students with any other names?
No.
Or all of them Sai something?
I think so, all of them.
You think all of them are. But all children will be having the same first name. So teacher suddenly calls Sai means all will say, yes, madam.
I don't know.
Teacher doesn't call by first name anybody.
No.
All by second name. Okay, Chaitanya, which class are you studying in?
Fourth class.
Fourth standard.
Yes.
So when you grow up, you told me that you're going to become a singer. You know, whenever we talk to children, no, all children will tell, I want to become doctor, I want to become engineer. You're the first child who is told, I want to become a singer. Why do you want to become a singer? Why did you make that choice?
I want to become a singer because I have a sweet voice.
You have a sweet voice.
So in my class, I am a singer.
So in your school, everybody knows Chaitanya is the singer?
No. In our class, everybody knows.
In your class, everybody knows?
Everybody.
So when was the first time you sang in your school? When did they realize that Chaitanya is a good singer?
In second class.
You sang during bhajans or you sang during a program?
Bhajans.
So what was the first bhajan you sang in school?
I forgot the bhajan.
You forgot the bhajan. What is your favorite bhajan?
Sai Mata Pita.
Can you sing two, three lines?
Sai Mata Pita Dina Bandhu Saka Tere charanon mein sai mera koti prana sai mata pita dina bandhu saka tere charanon mein sai mera koti prana mujhe shakti do mere sai shiva mujhe bhakti do mere Sai Shiva, mujhe mukti do, mere Sai Shiva, tere charano mein Sai mein koti pranam.
Very nice, very nice.
Thanks.
But do you know one thing? Now your voice is very sweet. When you grow up, it'll become little more gruff. It'll become like our voice. Then?
I'll try to sing.
You'll still try to sing. It's okay, even then your voice can be sweet. No? All the boys who sing in mandir, their voice is sweet or not?
Yes.
So one day you want to sing in the mandir?
Yes.
Have you sung any time with your school, as part of your school program or something?
No.
So when you become a singer, there are so many types of singers. You can become bhajan singer, or you can sing English songs, or you can do playback singing. So what singer will Chaitanya become?
Bhajan singer.
Bhajan singer. So only bhajans you'll sing.
Hmm? Yes.
What do you like about singing?
I don't know.
What, when you sing, how do you feel?
I feel very happy.
Do you feel the same happiness when you go out and play also?
No.
You feel more happy when you sing?
Yes.
When you're sitting and studying?
I'll feel.
You feel happy when you're sitting and studying?
Yes.
You like to study?
I like to study.
Do you like to sing more or you like to study more?
Sing more.
You like to sing more. You like dancing?
No.
You don't like dancing?
I don't like.
But next month, there's going to be a sports meet. Hmm?
Yes.
So, sports meet, all will dance. So, what are you going to do?
Fifth group dancers.
Yeah, so you'll have to dance. Hmm? What dance are you doing?
Hanuman dance.
Hanuman dance. So all are Hanumans, all are going to be dressed as Hanumans.
No, first four groups are Vanaras.
Okay.
Fifth group is Hanumans.
Fifth group is Hanumans. Okay, so you are going to come as one of the Hanumans and dance. You like Hanuman?
I like.
You like Hanuman?
I like.
Hanuman comes in Mahabharata or Ramayana?
Mahabharata.
Hanuman comes in?
Ramayana.
Ramayana. Okay. So what does Hanuman do in Ramayana? Do you know?
He'll serve Rama.
He serves Rama. So how does he serve Rama?
In finding Sita.
Where did Rama lose Sita then?
In the forest, mm-hmm. Sita shows one deer.
Okay.
It will be going, then Rama also goes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the deer is one of the Rakshasa.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll shout Lakshmana.
Mm-hmm.
Then Lakshmana draws one line with the arrow. Mm-hmm. And he goes. Then Ravana will come as one beggar.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll ask her. Then she'll tell Ravana to come inside, means he won't come.
Mm.
And Sita will come outside. And he'll give him, then he'll form to his real form. And then Sita Mata will get paid. And she'll fell down, then he'll take to the Lanka.
Okay. So you like Hanuman?
I like.
Which god do you like? Hanuman is best, or you like any other god?
Ganesha.
Why Ganesha?
He gives us knowledge.
Ganesha gives you knowledge?
Yes.
How do you know?
Everyone will be telling.
Your teacher, your mother, father tell you. Ganesha gives you?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. But if you want music, who gives music knowledge?
Saraswati.
So you should play to Saraswati, no? Saraswati will feel bad. This boy is not praying to me. How can he become singer? Will it be like that?
No.
Why?
All gods are one.
All gods are one. Then why you have Hanuman, Ganesha, Saraswati?
They come in different forms.
But God is one.
Yes.
What about other gods? Have you heard of? Which god does Jesus pray to?
I don't know.
Which god does Muslims pray to?
Allah.
So even Allah and all these gods are also one?
Yes. All are one.
All are one. You know Shirdi Baba?
I know.
Who is Shirdi Baba?
He's our Swami.
Swami's previous avatar.
Yes.
So he used to say one sentence, you know that? In Hindi he used to say,
Sabka Malik Ek Hai.
Sabka Malik?
Ek Hai.
What is the meaning of that?
All are one.
All are one. Sabka Malik Ek Hai means? Malik means who? Malik means master. Okay, sabka means, sab means?
People.
Sab means all people. Sabka Malik means the master for all people
is one.
So which means God is one. So it's okay if you pray to Ganesha also, you'll become a good singer. Do you know Hanuman was a very good singer?
I don't know.
Hanuman is supposed to be a very good singer. Hanuman is supposed to be very knowledgeable. He knows grammar, he knows. He's not only strong, he's very intelligent also. Do you know what happens when Hanuman goes to Lanka?
I don't know.
You've not heard that part of the story when he goes to Lanka?
I don't know.
What do they do to his tail?
They'll burn his tail,
mm-hmm.
and he'll light whole palace and he'll come up.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll be worrying about the Sita,
mm-hmm.
and some birds will come and tell him that you burnt only the palace. In the golden lava won't go to Ashokavana, they'll tell him that he won't be worrying.
Hmm.
He'll be happy.
So they put his tail on fire. Nothing happened to the tail?
Nothing happens.
How come?
I don't know.
Okay. Then Lanka gets burnt. Then what happens to Ravana and all?
They'll go outside.
Okay. So when's Rama find Sita finally?
At the end, they'll be having one war.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rama's group will win.
Okay.
And Ravana's group all will be
So how
lost.
Do they go to... You know where Ravana lives?
Lanka.
Where is Lanka? It's south of India.
Indian Ocean.
Yeah, Indian Ocean. So it's an island. So how did these army of Rama go to Lanka?
Vanaras help them to make one bridge.
Okay.
Then they'll go on that.
So they built a bridge and they went there. Okay, now coming back to singing. So you sing regularly in school?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday. Doing bhajans or what?
Bhajans.
Bhajans. You don't have any assembly prayer and all that?
We'll have.
What do you sing in prayer?
Asatoma.
Okay, then?
Then we'll have pledge.
Pledge? What pledge do you have?
India is my country.
Indian pledge, okay. Then?
Then we'll sit and sisters will sing some songs.
So boys don't sing?
Sometimes they sing.
Okay. But why only sisters they're singing?
They sing sweetly.
See, sisters sing more sweetly than boys?
Yes.
But you're also singing sweetly?
Only bhajans.
Okay.
Sisters sing other songs.
But other songs means what do they sing? Do you know any song which they sing? What song do you know?
Love, love, love. The gospel ring when word is love. Love the neighbor as a brother. Love, love, love. Peace, peace, peace. The gospel ring when word is peace. Peace the passing understanding. Peace, peace, peace. Joy, 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 joy. The gospel ring when word is joy. Joy the peace in overflow. Joy, joy, joy. Jesus, Jesus. Let me tell you how I feel. You have given me your spirit. I love you. I love you.
Very nice. Have you heard of the name Moses?
No, I didn't hear.
Moses came before Jesus. Okay, so he was also like Jesus. He was also, what do you call people like Moses, Jesus and all? They're called prophets. What's the difference between a prophet and avatar, you know?
Prophet is God's come in human's form to tell them the ways to God.
Okay.
And avatar is the God's form.
God himself comes. So prophet is sent by God. But avatar is?
The God itself.
God himself. So who are the avatars?
The Dashavataras of Vishnu.
You know them? Tell.
Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, Parasurama, Rama, Krishna, Buddha, Kalki.
Wow. You know all of this. When did you learn all this?
In our EHV, we will learn.
EHV? That is in school or you go
Nurse
separately?
Nurse school.
So they teach you all this?
They'll teach.
They'll teach you about the Bible. What is the Bible, you know? Bible?
The Holy Book of Christians.
The Holy Book of Christians. So Jesus' story is in Bible.
Yeah.
So what is there in the Bhagavad Gita?
About Krishna.
Bhagavad Gita is about Krishna. What is Bhagavad Gita?
Mahabharata is Krishna's. Okay. Bhagavad Gita, I don't know.
Have you heard Bhagavad Gita? Have you not heard what it is? You don't chant Bhagavad Gita in school? Mahabharata is the whole story. So in that, Bhagavad Gita is when Krishna gives a message to Arjuna. Right? So that is called Bhagavad Gita. So if you grow up, okay, now you want to become a singer. If there is anything else you get interested in.
Doctor. Will?
You want to be, so you are also one more doctor.
First I thought I'll become doctor, then I decided to become singer.
You can become both, no? When you're treating the patients, you can keep singing and treating the patients.
It can't be allowed.
Why? See, when you sing, it feels so nice. No, people feel so calm and all that. So doctor also is going to give comfort. So if you can sing and treat a patient, it will be very nice.
I don't know.
What?
It won't be allowed. There are the rules.
You can't do surgery singing, but you can treat a patient singing. You can try it out. Or if you become a policeman, you can keep singing and you can do your duty.
We'll be singing, we'll go into our mind and we won't be seeing the location.
If you're singing, what happens? Why you'll go inside your mind?
We'll feel so calm.
Okay.
And we'll see, we'll be so peaceful.
So when you sing, you don't know what happens around you?
I don't know.
You lose yourself when you sing? I know you sing, you close your eyes and sing.
Yeah.
Why you close your eyes and sing? In your altar, in the hall, there's a big picture of Swami?
No. Or not so big.
Okay.
Small.
So then when you start singing, why do you close your eyes and sing?
So that Swami come in our mind.
Come in your mind. Then why do they keep the chair outside?
I don't know.
Why do you close your eyes and sing?
So that we feel peaceful.
How do you feel peaceful?
If we close our eyes, all the thoughts will go out.
Mm-hmm. If you close your eyes, do you see anything?
Hi. Swami.
Do you see any pictures in your mind when you close your eyes? See, now I'm opening my eyes, okay? And I'm seeing Chaitanya sitting in front of me. So when you're singing bhajans, you say you close your eyes. So what do you see?
Only Swami's picture.
You can imagine, you can pictureize Swami standing in front of you. No? So when we sing and we close our eyes and we think of Swami, why do we do that? Where is God? Suppose somebody comes and asks you, where is Swami? What will you tell?
Swami is beside us.
Swami is?
Around us and beside.
Swami tells that in Telugu, you know that? What is that?
Nenu prati chota untanu.
One more Swami will tell. Intane, ventane. You heard that?
No, I didn't hear.
Swami says, I'm above you, below you, before you, behind you. Not heard?
In English I heard, in Telugu I didn't.
So what is the last thing Swami says in that? Swami says, God is inside you. Correct? So God is inside you?
Yes.
Yes. Where is God? Inside you means where?
In our heart.
In our heart. No, God is in our heart. So when you close your eyes, what are you supposed to do?
We should think about Swami.
You have to visualize the God inside. No, that is the idea. So we see picture outside, we close eyes and we see God inside. No, that is the idea, no? Then what about these boys who want to do heart surgery and all?
I don't know.
It's okay, Swami is there in the heart. Can you do surgery?
We'll think that Swami is in our heart.
Okay.
And he is there.
Okay.
But nothing happens for him.
But in the heart, where does he stay? They're doing surgery and all. So that time he goes off to the lungs, is it?
No.
Then?
I don't know where he goes.
If Swami says, I am beside you, and Swami says, I am inside you also, what does that mean?
That means we should not be worrying about Swami, and he is with us.
Okay, Swami says, I am above you, below you, around you, and inside you. What does that mean? Doesn't that mean Swami is everywhere? No, Swami is everywhere. He's in the heart also, but he is outside the heart also. Correct?
Correct.
Or wrong?
Correct.
So when you sing, what do you do actually? When you
we
sing
close
bhajans?
Eyes.
Yeah, when you sing bhajans, why should we sing bhajans? You want to become bhajan singer. Okay, you sing because you like to sing. But why should we sing bhajans?
Because Swami like.
Because Swami likes. Swami used to like bhajans a lot. Why did you feel that Swami likes bhajans?
Because from his small time to his singing.
Is Swami singing from?
His small time to.
What was Swami's first bhajan, do you know?
Manasa Bajre.
Manasa Bajre. So Chaitanya, before you, I'm going to say Sai Ram to you, you have to sing Manasa Bajre for us. Will you sing?
I don't know full song.
Okay, you can sing one or two lines. Sing.
Manas bajare guru charanam dustara bhavasa karataranam guru maharaj guru jay jay guru maharaj guru jay jay sai nath sat guru jay jay satya sai nath sat guru jay jay.
Thank you Chaitanya, you sing so well. You should grow up to be a very good singer. Thank you for coming. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Sai Chaitanya from the Ishwarama school. Let us all wish him all the best so that he can become a good singer.
So children, what do you people want to be when you grow up? Would you like to share with us? You can write to us how you wish to use your knowledge for the benefit of others around. And you know, you can write to listener@radiosai.org.
You can also write to us what you liked about children's art program or what you have learned from this program.
Now it's time to say bye to all of you. So children, a very good night to all of you.
Sai Ram. Take care, children. We will meet you next week.
Sai Ram.